Father, I just lift Danny up before you this morning, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for, Lord, the word you placed on his heart, Lord. I know that it's going to be in season, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we hear what you are saying, Father, that we hear, Lord, your words through this mighty man of God. In Jesus' almighty name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's good to see you. Just bear with me as I start my timer. Doesn't really mean anything, right? It's there as a comfort. Okay, it's great to be with you. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Danny. I serve on the eldership team, on Steve's team here and there. I lead the Roffey congregation. So we are one eldership team, but I'm on the ground in Roffey leading the work there with Ade, who's also one of our elders. And this is my wife, Sarah, here, for those of you that don't know. And next to her, Grace, Jonah, and Ruby behind her. So, you know, we had to drive to church this morning. Usually it's like a 3-minute walk. Actually, we do often drive to the Millennium Hall because we've got gear that we need to take, you know. And we're like, we've got to get to church. It's like half eight. But, I got, like you said, I got in the car this morning. I was like, how cold is it? I've got to de-ice the car. And you know the weather has turned when Lyle has switched his foot gear. Right? He's in trainers. So there's no way back for us now, guys. It is official. Winter is around the corner. So so wonderful to worship God with you this morning. And I'm going to jump straight in. I'm going to avoid the preamble. Because I really feel that I just really want to deliver what God's laid on my heart for you this morning. And Steve has asked me to speak about transformation. So you're in a series called Kingdom People, Kingdom Living. Did you know that? Yeah. Well, you are. And you're a few weeks in and exploring really what does it mean to be Kingdom People? And that's what we are, by the way. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you've come into the Kingdom of God. And that means that we have a King. And his name is Jesus. And you know where Jesus is king, the kingdom breaks in. It's as simple as that. It's a simple equation. Where Jesus is king, the kingdom breaks in. And that's why we make much of singing praises to God. Because we want to see Jesus enthroned. By the way, he is enthroned. God has already enthroned him. But somehow the Bible says he's enthroned on the praises of his people. So God has enthroned Jesus. He's already king of kings. But somehow in our praises, he is glorified. And it's just wonderful this morning just to look at who God is and see him magnified amongst his people. But his kingdom breaks in when he is king. So is he king of your heart? Is he Lord of your life? Now he might be savior, which is awesome. But is he Lord of your life? Is he the decision maker? And, you know, Romans 12:2, which is where your series comes from, let's read that. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world or this age, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Did you know that transformation is what discipleship is about? This is what Paul is talking about here. Being a disciple of Jesus is about being transformed into his image. Into the image of Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:18, because he says it here as well. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. We beheld the glory of the Lord this morning. We gazed on the beauty of the Lord, the splendor of the Lord, the holiness of the Lord. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed, there's that same word, into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. What same image? The image of Christ. Did you know that Jesus is conforming you to himself, to his image? And he writes, from one degree of glory to another. That word glory has kind of a dual aspect to it. It means beauty and it means character. It means the essence of our God. It's the essence of his holiness. It's the multifaceted nature of his character, of his beauty, of his majesty. You and I are being transformed into the image of Christ. Beautiful. Character of God being made right in you, formed in you. Transformation into the image of Christ. Do you realize that's what he's doing in you? From one degree of glory to another. You know, but being a follower of Jesus is not about behavior modification. It's not about titivation. Do you know what titivation is? Lyle will know all about titivation. Not. It's about being... let me explain this. I wish I hadn't said that. This is not... titivation is about being neater. It's about being more attractive. Like, you're a handsome guy. But, you know, who's concerned with titivation? Jesus isn't concerned with your titivation. I've said that too many times. Let's move on. It's not about behavior modification. It's about transformation from the inside out. It's a complete character transformation. We are being transformed into the image of Christ. And you know that word there, transformation, that Paul uses twice? It's metamorpho. And you may recognize this. This is where metamorphosis comes from. It's the caterpillar into the butterfly. This is what Jesus is forming in you. He's bringing about his beauty, his character, his glory in you. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. And we'll explore that in a little while. It's your old self, it's your earthly nature being radically transformed into a brand new you. We're a new creation, aren't we, in Christ Jesus? We're being made like him. Dallas Willard said this, I want to quote him. Spiritual formation or transformation in the Christian tradition is a process of increasingly being possessed and permeated by the character traits of Jesus as we walk in the easy yoke of discipleship with Jesus, our teacher. Don't you love that? It's about being possessed and permeated with the character traits of Jesus as we walk in his yoke, which is easy, which is light. This is what discipleship is. This is what you've given yourself to, by the way. If you said to Jesus, I bow my knee to you, this is what he is doing in you. If you let him, if you'll allow him to. Because God never forces himself upon us. We have to be willing. We have to be submissive to him. You know, every day we're becoming something or someone, aren't we? It's just a question of who or what. Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, which is you and I, he also predestined to be what? There's that same language, conformed to the image of his son. So we're being conformed to the image of his son. So we're either conformed to the image of this world. Remember, we just read that in Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world or the image of this world. So we can either conform to the image of this world or we can conform to the image of the son, which is being transformed from the inside out. Now, here's the thing. Being conformed to the image of this world or giving yourself to the patterns of this world is unintentional. It's unintentional. It requires nothing on our part. You just have to wake up in the morning, get up, breathe the air of this culture, this society, and you will be formed into the image of this world. It requires no effort on your part. Isn't that good news? You have to do absolutely nothing about it. No effort, no intentionality. Just wake up, breathe this air, and you will be conformed to the image of this world. But we're a kingdom people, aren't we? So we need to flip this on its head. Being conformed to the image of Christ is about intentional spiritual formation. It's about much effort. By the way, it's not about earning, but it is about effort. Was it Dallas Willard that said, grace is not opposed to effort, but it is opposed to earning. So we don't earn our salvation. It's a free gift given by God. His grace. We celebrated that in communion this morning. We just receive it and we say, yes, Lord, and I'm going to make you Lord of my life. But effort is required to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's intentional spiritual formation. So it's up to you. You can do nothing and you'll be conformed to the image of this world, or you can do something and you will be conformed to the image of Christ. It's your choice and it's my choice. And how many days do I wake up and I do not intentionally pursue Christ? How many days do I wake up and I do not give myself in full humility and surrender and obedience to what God has called me to? And by the way, on that day, I am being conformed to the image of this world by doing nothing to pursue Christ. So it's your choice. Do nothing and you'll be conformed. Do something, you'll be conformed. But what are you being conformed to? What do you want to be conformed to? Because you'll have what you want. What is your strongest desire? What is your deepest desire? You know, John Mark Comer says, our strongest desire is not always our deepest desire. Actually, our deepest desire, I hope, as followers of Jesus, is to be conformed to his image. But so often, our strongest desires are not our deepest desires. I'm going to explore some of that this morning. So you being intentional. You know, you can't Amazon Prime Christ likeness. It's not on next day delivery. You can't microwave character. How I wish that was true. Just a click of a finger. It's a process, isn't it? Sanctification, which is theological language for being transformed into the image of Christ, takes a lifetime. And by the way, you'll never fully get there. Only when Jesus returns does the Bible say we're glorified with him. We come into the fullness of his character. But every day between now and then, we are having to find him for Christ to be formed in us. Do you know Christ is returning, by the way? And you know, in Ephesians, Paul writes that he's returning for a glorious bride. One that is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That's what he's returning to. By the way, it's his image. That's what he's returning for. His image in the church. His image in the bride of Christ. His beauty. His name being made known through the beauty of us as image bearers reflecting him. What a wonderful thing he's called us to. And he's perfecting us. He is perfecting us. So you open to the continuous work of God in your life. How are you with change, by the way? How are you with change? It can be tricky, can't it? Change can be tricky. Do you know you're actually living in a constant change, a constant state of change as a human being? Think about your physical body. The human body is actually always changing. Did you know there's a constant process of cells generating and degenerating in your body? And in various levels, at various times, over various time frames, different parts of your body are generating and degenerating, dying and coming to life. You're made up of roughly around 30 trillion cells. That's a big number. That's a lot of zeros. 30 trillion cells. And on average, there's about 330 billion of those cells being replaced every day, which is how many percent? 100%. It's 1%, roughly 1%, okay? Roughly 1% of you is being changed up every day. Yeah, it was a lousy guess. Let's put that first graphic up there. Does anybody know what this is? This is under a microscope. This is a cross-section of human skin, actually. There you go. It's very pink, isn't it? Apparently, and I've done a lot of reading on this. It's a bit varied in terms of the numbers and the statistics, but let's just run with this one, which I landed on. Apparently, you lose about 200,000 dead skin cells off the surface of your skin every hour. So by the time we've left this place, let's assume we're here for, 2 hours, you've lost 400,000 skin cells, which means Liz has got a tough job of hoovering this carpet tomorrow morning. That's what all that dust is that we're hoovering up. It's our cells. We're shedding skin. How many is that in a day? Back to the mathematicians amongst us. Tom, keep quiet.
I'm waiting for Tom to answer.
200,000, Andrew, every hour. How many per day? It's about 5 million, all right? 5 million. Thankfully, those cells are replaced, okay? Otherwise, it would be a very weird meeting this morning, looking around the room. So what about your brain? Your brain is constantly growing and changing, some more than others, as it adapts to new information and new circumstances. As you sit there now listening to me, your brain is changing. As you absorb new information, we respond to our circumstances. Our brain is constantly changing. Let's put up that next graphic. So this shows the brain, the human brain, and that bit that's highlighted in the middle there is called the hippocampus, not the hippopotamus, the hippocampus. And that's the part of the brain which is involved with memory, with learning, with emotional responses. And this is actually the part that forms new cells, new brain cells, new neurons in the brain. And it's a mechanism called neurogenesis. That's the process that's involved. And there can be as many as 1,000 new neurons made in your brain every day. Fascinating, isn't it? So we're physically in a constant state of change. And the same should be true of our spiritual lives. As our character is conformed to the image of Christ. But as I've said, this isn't an automatic process. There's these automatic processes running through your body continuously. But being formed into the image of Christ isn't automatic. It requires intentionality, which means making some tough choices. So remember, it's metamorphosis. So let's put that next graphic up, please, John. So I mentioned that transformation in Bible is this. This is the process. This is the picture. This is the metaphor that Paul gives us to understand what's going on in the process of change. And the metamorphosis from a caterpillar to a butterfly, it occurs during the pupa stage, which you're sort of seeing represented in the middle. And that's where the caterpillar's old body dies and a new body forms inside a chrysalis. And the process of the process of him dying actually occurs by it releasing enzymes from his mouth to dissolve itself. The caterpillar releases enzymes from his body to dissolve himself. And he actually becomes a kind of caterpillar soup inside the chrysalis. This mushy, gooey mess. And then, because of God's divine engineering, the awesome creator God that we serve, somehow that gooey mess is reorganized into a structure that comes out beautiful. It's amazing, isn't it? Did you know to be transformed into the image of Christ, which is what we see here, the beauty, the glory from glory to glory, we need to go through a process of dissolving and dying. Who wants to dissolve? Who wants to die to flesh? If you want to be this, you have to go through a painful process of change. Dissolving our ego. Dissolving our wrong ways of thinking. The patterns of this world. Dying to what the world says is true and right. Dying to carnal desires, fleshly desires, sinful desires. Paul said, I dissolve daily, didn't he? I dissolve daily, or I die daily. It's the same thing. Paul said, I want to be that caterpillar that dissolves daily, that dies daily to the wants and the lust of my flesh so that I can be transformed into the image of Christ and be beautiful. And you know, it's actually the beauty of Christ that the world is attracted to. There's nothing in me that is attractive to this world. I can bring nothing to the table. And we know it's by our fruit. It's by our love. It's by the transformational work of a powerful God that brings us to this place so that the world can see there is a mighty God. There is an awesome God. How are you doing? You know, the problem is our old self, our caterpillar self, won't go down without a fight. Will it? Who wants to be turned into a gooey soup? It's messy, right? And probably smelly. I don't know how painful that process is, but it's a mess. You have to go through the mess. You have to be dissolved. You have to go through the crucifying of the flesh to be the butterfly. It's a struggle, and that's why we often resist. The way we resist transformation, and I want to share a bit on this, and I'm going to give you three handles on all of this morning. The way we resist transformation is to resist or oppose the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one who works in you and me to transform us to the image of Christ. That's one of the Holy Spirit's primary roles, is to convict us of sin, to point us to Jesus, to bring us to truth, to bring us into freedom. Ultimately, it's all about sanctification, forming Christ in us. The Holy Spirit is our primary partner in that process. So if we resist the Holy Spirit and his work in us, we resist this process of transformation. It's complete foolishness to be at odds with the Holy Spirit. Unless you want to be conformed to the image of this world. then resist to your heart's content. Oppose the Holy Spirit to your heart's content if you don't want to be formed into the image of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to die, to dissolve. So you're not on your own here. So we need to be switched on to the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, let's read some scripture. Verse 16. I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So there's the Spirit. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. He's really making this point. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want. So the flesh and the Spirit are in opposition. Now the works of the flesh are evident, and he gives us some here in verse 19. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. Just make a mental note of areas that you struggle with here. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. He's still going. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, will not be a kingdom people. But, thank goodness, there's a but. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are the fruits of transformation. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So, Paul makes this point very loudly and clearly. The flesh and the Spirit are diametrically opposed to each other. We either produce the works or the acts of the flesh, or we produce the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is this transformation, caterpillar into a butterfly. So will we crucify the flesh and walk with the Spirit? Three handles on this morning. And I want to start with point one, which is crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. So how can we be transformed? Number one, crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. We need to put to death the things of the earthly nature. So we've just read what some of those things are, some of those parts of the earthly nature. Paul gives us more. So let's indulge ourselves. Colossians 3, verse 5 to 10. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, the flesh. Here we go. Buckle your seatbelts, guys. If the last list wasn't enough for you, then have some more. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. He's going to continue. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator, transformed into the image of Christ. So let's combine Paul's lists. Do you struggle in any of these areas? Sexual immorality. These are the works, the acts of the flesh, okay? You don't need to raise your hands, by the way, okay? By the way, you may need to confess this to somebody. Because James said, didn't he? Confess your sins to one another so that you can be healed. Which is another way of saying you can be transformed so that you can conform yourself to the image of Christ. This is part of that intentional spiritual formation. Confessing these things, repentance. So, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, greed, idolatry, which is basically putting anything in place of God, anything above God. We're all worshippers. We're all worshipping before the altar of something. Usually it's ourselves. We're great at worshipping ourselves, aren't we? It's called idolatry. Paul said in the last days, we'll be lovers of ourselves rather than lovers of God. So wherever we love ourselves before we love God or love others, it's a form of idolatry. I put my hand up for this one. Quarreling, discord, divisions, malice, which is a desire to hurt somebody. Slander, which is talking about others wrongfully or misrepresenting people. Jealousy and envy. Anger and rage and hatred. Like, there's no stone unturned here. Like, he's covering it all. Anger and rage and hatred. You're like, oh, I might struggle with anger. Well, got you as well. It's not rage, yeah, but it's anger. So you're in the list. Filthy language. The language that comes out of our mouths, which is dishonoring to God. Lies. Selfish ambition. Selfish ambition is there, guys. Drunkenness. And Paul like puts a catch-all at the end. And things like these. It's like, oh, you thought you got away with it. You're like, no, yeah, I got away with that one. I'm really looking like Jesus this morning. And things like these. So it's those other things which are nagging at you this morning. You're like, they weren't in the list, but is that, isn't it? Yeah, things like these. So what do you identify with? Will Murray used to say this. We need to identify before we can nullify. So before we can put to death the things of the flesh, we need to identify where our struggles are. So where are your struggles? Because God wants to set you free. He wants to be formed in you. Which is why we need to wake up to what they are. This is why the word of God is so powerful. It's like a knife which divides flesh from spirit. It's part of why we give ourselves to the word of God. Because it reveals to us those parts of the flesh that we need to crucify. So if we're not in the word, then we're not looking at ourselves in the mirror and recognizing where we fall short, where those areas of flesh are in us. You know, we read in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The preceding verse in verse 1 is, in view of God's mercy, offer your life as a living sacrifice. This is what we're talking about here. And then be transformed. So we're transformed by putting ourselves on the altar. Because that's where the flesh dies. And by the way, it's an altar of God's grace. God meets us there with his grace and his provision. God meets us there with his spirit, who wants to cut away all those parts of us that are not honoring to God. And you know, it's a daily thing, isn't it? Offering our lives as a living sacrifice. And you have to keep on doing it. You know, there's parts of me that I need to keep killing. Because they just rear their ugly head at times. You know, there was a few weeks ago, I was on the train. I get the train to East Croydon 3 days a week. Sometimes the train's really packed. And there was this incident which happened. I was going down through one of the narrow passageways, sort of going from one carriage to another. And I got like 9/10 of the way. And then this guy sort of comes through the door. And I'm like, well, I'm 9/10 of the way, right? So surely he's going to just step to the side and, be gracious. But he wasn't. And he sort of stood there, and I was like, okay. I was a little bit agitated because he wasn't moving. And then I thought, okay, look, I'll be the grown-up here. He was older than me in years. Doesn't mean maturity. Age doesn't mean maturity. but I would hope it does. But, I'm a child of God, right? So I've got to take the higher ground. But I didn't. So, I did. I sort of stepped back and I said, well, I've come all this. I did make a comment. I said, look, I'm all this way. Could I just come through? And I don't know why. He was just being stubborn. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to come back. And I thought I'd moved to a place where he could get past. And he sort of stopped and he said, I can't get through. And that was it for me. I was like, listen, mate, I should have got through that door first. I didn't make a huge thing of it, but I made a comment to him and I said, listen, I think I've been more than accommodating here. Why couldn't you have just stepped back? I was 9/10 of the way through. And he made some comment, why don't you have some respect? And I made a comment back. By the way, I'm not saying this may seem humorous, but I'm here to confess, right? I felt really justified in that moment. I'm like, I had every right to, And then I went home, right? So I'm sort of playing this out. This was on the journey home. I'm playing this out in my mind as I walk home. And I come through the door and I tell Sarah, and I got nothing from her. And I'm like, and I knew she didn't need to say anything, right? And those of you that have wives know this situation well. I knew, I was like, yes, this was right. And then I was like, oh, yeah. She didn't say anything. In fact, I don't think we've had a conversation about that then or since. I was like, I conformed to the image of this world. I don't know whether I had a quiet time that morning. I don't know whether I was intentional about my spiritual formation. Evidently, I wasn't, right? Because if I had been, I would have been a lot more gracious. Now, whether I was justified or not is irrelevant, right? Because I'm a kingdom person. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. So do I conform to the flesh, or do I allow the Holy Spirit to put the flesh to death? And those things keep coming up. And we have to kill them again. We have to place them on the altar again. Okay, right. Let's put up that next graphic, please. Right. Can anyone tell me? Yeah. Moving on. Can anybody tell me what these animals have in common? Hooves, yeah, they do. They've got four legs. They've got a nose and two eyes. They're delicious. They go down well on a braai. Lila, at some point or another, has cooked all of these. What's on the menu today? Chicken, oh. Right, yes, thank you, thank you. They are stubborn animals. So, Stephen addressed the Sanhedrin just before he was stoned for it, okay? And he said this to them, religious order of the day, you stiff-necked people, or you stubborn people. Let's leave that up. Let's not worry about the scripture. I'll read it to you. It's in there, by the way. This is Acts 7:51. He said, you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are uncircumcised. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Remember, when we resist the Holy Spirit, we resist the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in us. And Stephen rebuked the religious, the Sanhedrin, for resisting the Holy Spirit. And he compared them to their ancestors, which are the children of Israel, wandering through the desert, who resisted God time and time again, were disobedient to God, who grumbled, who complained. They resisted God by being stiff-necked with uncircumcised hearts and ears. That's what Stephen said. He's referring back to the wilderness wanderings. And the two are connected. Deuteronomy 10:16 says, circumcise your hearts and do not be stiff-necked any longer. This was spoken to the children of Israel, by the way. So circumcision, very quickly on this, was a requirement under the Old Covenant. And it required the surgical removing of parts of the body as an outward physical sign of a covenant with God. If that needs explaining to you, please ask Lyle later. Part of our role as elders, you know, discipline, direction, doctrine, explain circumcision. Praise be to God, men, we're under a new covenant. But you know, now, under the new covenant, and even then, because this was referenced to, you know, the children of Israel, there's a circumcision of the heart that's required. And it signifies, in part, the cutting off of the fleshly nature so that we can be fully given to God, so that we can be separated unto God. It's putting aside the things of the flesh. The circumcision of the heart is about what we're talking about, crucifying the wants, the desires, the lusts of the flesh, cutting them away so that we can be fully given to God. This is what it means to be kingdom people, kingdom living. Colossians 2:11. In him, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. This is the work of Jesus in us, the work of the Spirit in us, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And Stephen spoke here about being stiff-necked. And stiff-necked is about being stubborn, unteachable, rigid, obstinate, unyielding, pig-headed, bull-headed, headstrong. All these kind of things. It's an unwillingness to change. Being stubborn or stiff-necked is about an unwillingness to change or be directed. And you know, Stephen was referencing the children of Israel there in their wilderness wanderings. There came a point where God actually said, these are a stiff-necked people and I will not lead them, or I might destroy them along the way. You know, God opposes pride, and being stiff-necked is a fruit of pride. God opposes. It's a military term, which means he fights against. So not only are we resisting the work of the Spirit when we're stubborn or stiff-necked, unteachable, not willing to change, not only are we resisting him, but he resists us. He opposes us in our uncircumcision, in our stiff-neckedness. Who wants to be opposed by God this morning? God calls them stiff-necked. And the reason he calls them stiff-necked, because in Bible times, they would use oxen. So one of those pictures was of an ox. They'd use the oxen to draw the plow, okay? And an ox that was stubborn or stiff-necked, or hard to control, was called stiff-necked. That's where it comes from. They couldn't be controlled. They weren't teachable. They weren't willing to change. We resist the Holy Spirit when we're hard to lead. How easy are you to lead? And by the way, we often see how easy we are to lead in the way we submit to leaders. Because if you resist God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, usually the way that plays out is you'll resist leadership. We need to put this part of us to death. So that was number one. That was my longest point. I always say that on point one. But it is true. It is true, okay? So point two and three will be much quicker, and then we'll land this. And point two is walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5 that we read there, he said, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And in verse 25, interestingly, this is Galatians 5, he said, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So there's living by the Spirit and there's walking by the Spirit. And he draws a distinction here, the living and the walking. So living by the Spirit is effectively about faith in God. It's about being born again. Because we know when we surrender our life to Jesus, as children of God, we receive the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit makes his home in us. The Spirit resides in us as believers. So we have life in the Spirit, life with the Spirit. But walking by the Spirit is something else. It's our resulting behavior because of the Spirit living in us if we don't resist him. It's where he produces new desires in us to obey God, to love God, to be holy as he is holy. That's what walking by the Spirit is about. It's the sanctification process of being conformed to the image of Christ by changing one desire after another in us for the things of the kingdom. And you know, this walking by the Spirit is also about his enabling. Because he empowers us to be like Jesus. Every temptation to give into the flesh, which is sin, is an opportunity to obey God and crucify the flesh. Therefore, growing in his likeness. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, which we read earlier about beholding the glory of the Lord, being transformed into his image, he says, this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We need the Lord who is the Spirit to help us in our pursuit of transformation. I went to the barber's yesterday, got a bit of barber, you know, Turkish grooming, as you can see. Did a good job, didn't he? He had some good raw material to work with, let me just say that. Like I say, I'm crucifying the flesh daily, right? Just putting it all out there. You know, obviously did my hair. Those of you that saw me before my haircut yesterday would have thought I definitely needed some grooming. Gave me a haircut, did a bit of eyebrow treatment. Guys, bit of nostril hair treatment. You know how essential that is. Bit of ear singeing, Turkish ear singeing. Ever had that, guys? The flames on the ears, that's good. Nothing quite like the smell of burning hair. Not quite burning flesh, thankfully. And, you know, bit of cutthroat razor action on the neck as well. Does anybody else go weak at the knees when they see someone pull out a cutthroat? And then the hot towel on the face, you know, just sitting back. It's a great experience, by the way. Turkish barbers on Lambs Farm Road. And then he also gave me a touch of a shoulder massage afterwards. It's the first time I got that. But, you know, I was sitting there thinking about my preach, obviously. And, yeah, I was thinking, you know, the Holy Spirit fulfills a similar role in our lives. You know, he's working in us continually to clean us up. And like I say, it's not titivation. It's not just external stuff, you know, making you look neat and nice. No, there's a work from within. He's cutting away the parts of us that are ungodly. He's shaving away those parts of us that are ungodly to form Christ in us. So let's walk with him in this. And thirdly then, abide in Christ. Last graphic, please, John. Abide in Christ. John 15. I am the true vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away or he cuts off. By the way, did you notice what Jesus said there? He said, every branch in me, in Christ, Jesus saying this, every branch in me that is not fruitful, God removes. Jesus said that about himself. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, transformed into the butterfly. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus makes it clear for us. Remaining in him, abiding in him, dwelling with him is the only way to be fruitful. And this is interlinked with the Holy Spirit, right? Abiding in Christ, walking with the Spirit, practicing the presence of God. It's all really one and the same thing. It's about submitting to the work of our God. But it's, you know, he talks about abiding. It's intimate. It's close. We need to cultivate a lifestyle of connection, of communion, of closeness with Christ. How do we do this? Sit at his feet and listen to him like Mary did. Recline close to him like John did. Worship him like the disciples did. Talk with him, which is prayer. Talk with him, commune with him like many people did through Scripture. This is about cultivating this abiding relationship which leads to this kind of fruit in our lives. And it's by our fruit that people will recognize that we're followers of Jesus. We have to stay connected to the vine. Otherwise, you know, the best that you'll produce is the works of the flesh. The best I can produce is the works of my own flesh, which doesn't last and it means nothing. It counts for nothing in light of eternity. Shall we stand? So crucify the flesh. Stop resisting the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Spirit and abide in Christ. Worship team, please join me. So I just want to sort of leave you with this question as we come to respond. Are you receiving the empowering, transformational presence of the Holy Spirit? Or are you resisting the empowering, transformational presence of the Holy Spirit? Let's just close our eyes, church. Just before I call for some specific responses, I don't know if there's anybody here this morning that has never surrendered their life to Jesus. You've never come to that point in your life where you've recognized that Jesus, the Son of God, came to the world because the Father loved us so much. He came to the world and took the sins of the world, including yours and mine, upon his shoulders when he was nailed to a cross. And the Bible says that through the shedding of his blood on that cross, that there is forgiveness for our sins and there is restoration with God the Father once and for all. And in order to receive that, in order to walk in the fullness of what that means, we have to simply say, I see it and I receive the gift of God's grace, the gift of God's mercy in giving his Son. So if that's you this morning, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus as Savior and as Lord of your life, then I want to invite you today, speak to one of the leaders here. Don't leave this place without having spoken that through with somebody. Would love to pray with you and welcome you into the family of God this morning. It's the best decision you'll ever make. But for us, church, for those of us that are followers of Jesus in this place and would claim to be his disciple, it's a pursuit of being transformed into his image. And it's one degree of glory to another. It is. It's one step at a time. It's one act of obedience at a time. It's one crucifying of the flesh at a time. But do you want to be transformed into his image this morning? Do you want to be conformed to the image of Christ? And I want us to start this morning with repentance, actually. And I'm not going to call you out. But if maybe... You know, we looked at a number of scriptures this morning. If there's something that you felt God highlight, you felt a conviction in your spirit, as we were talking through some of those parts of the flesh that need crucifying, I want to ask you to do something this morning. Every eye is closed in this place. Can I ask you just to lift both your hands this morning as a sign of repentance, as a sign of surrender to God this morning. Remember, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. We place ourselves on the altar. We place those things of the flesh on the altar. And this is one way where we can just mark this moment and physically say, God, I lift that thing to you. And I place that thing on the altar this morning. And you know, it's the kindness of God which meets us in the place of repentance. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, for every hand raised in this place this morning that wants to be conformed to the image of Christ. And Lord, we recognize that, Lord, there is this messy process, this gooey, messy middle, Lord God, where we're transitioning from a caterpillar with all the fleshly, earthly, carnal desires, Lord, that we hold and cling on to, Lord, into that of a butterfly, which is the beauty of God being made known through our lives. And Lord, we desire to be that radiant, glorious representation of our God. And Lord, won't you take those things, Lord God, that are holding on to us, those things of the flesh, and Lord, we place them on the altar today. We repent, Lord God, of those things in our lives, and we say, God, consume the sacrifice. Crucify the flesh by the empowering of your Spirit. We come and we lay those things down in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray, Lord, where there's a stranglehold of sin in any of our lives in this place, that, Lord, you would come by the power of your Spirit, Lord God, and you would release those strangleholds. And that, Lord God, you would break us free in Jesus' name. And wherever there is a stronghold on us, Lord God, whether it's lust, whether it's anger, Lord God, whether it's slander, jealousy, whatever it might be, I pray for freedom in the name of Jesus. We want to walk free in your name. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for your enabling this morning. Come. Won't you just come? I pray you'd lift every heavy burden in this place this morning. You'd lift, Lord God, every part of us that is weary, Lord God, in trying to, Lord, die to this thing daily, whatever it is. Move by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, guys, for responding this morning. I do want to say, I did mention this earlier, if there's an area where you feel you need help in crucifying this part of your flesh, then please find someone, confess that, get a brother or a sister alongside you who can pray with you, maybe walk a journey with you in helping you to find freedom. But I want to end here, the Holy Spirit. As we've spoken about the flesh and we've spoken about the Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit which enables us, and it is the Holy Spirit which forms Christ in us. So let's give ourselves to the Holy Spirit this morning. And I want to invite you to come out. And if you haven't done this before, this isn't some sort of magical thing that we do. There's something in coming out, stepping out from our chairs. You know, I think chairs are a comfort zone. It's easy to hide there. There's something in stepping forward, in physically giving of yourself, which can actually do something in the spiritual realm. Often in the scriptures, the physical preceded the spiritual, preceded the breakthrough. You see it time and time again with God moving through his people. So I want to ask you to come forward, and we're going to actually sing that song, Fill Me Up. We're going to go there. Because this talks about, God, you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. So we're placing ourselves on the altar this morning, but we're believing that the Holy Spirit is just going to come and fill us afresh this morning, empower us anew. For that part of your journey that you need to walk, you need his enabling this morning. So let's come and give of ourselves. We're giving ourselves, surrendering ourselves to God this morning and the work of his Holy Spirit. Come fill us up, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, for fresh enabling this morning. I pray, Lord God, that we know where we're weak, you are strong. And Lord God, just come and move upon your people in power today in Jesus' name to break us free, to point us to Jesus. Yeah, fill us up, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.